This is my first time to preach in English in Japan. I have been a pastor of a church in Hirakata, Osaka, for 35 years. And then I retired in this March. I liked English ever since I started to learn it in junior high school. I dreamed of studying abroad, but I haven't had such a chance. So I say, my English is made in Japan. Please forgive me, for I will make many mistakes. Let's read the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1. To 7, especially if you have your own Bible or the manuscripts. From verse 1, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. My title is Christians, what kind of people? Now, most of you are Christians. You might say, I've been a Christian for many years. I know what it is to be a Christian very well. So, I don't have to listen to this message. Now, what kind of people are Christians? When asked, we will probably answer this way. Christians are, number one, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, so all our sins are forgiven, and therefore we are saved and have the eternal life with God. Number two, being saved. We will surely go to heaven or the kingdom of God when we die. And you may add, number three, we have the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God living within us. These probably are the main things that we would answer. Yes, these are all true, as the Bible promises. But I think the Bible says even more than these in today's passage. Now, in verses 1 to 3, we see what kind of people we were before we became a Christian. Verse 1, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. This means that even if we were alive and physically and mentally very active, our spirit was dead. Now, what is the function of our spirit? When we read the Bible, I think we come to know that our human spirit functions to interact or fellowship with God. So, if our spirit is dead, we cannot feel God nor interact with Him. People say, I do not feel anything about God, so there is no God. This is not a sign that there is no God, but this is a sign that their spirit is dead. Verse 2, you followed the ways of this world. This world means people not knowing the true God. Following the ways of life of the people who don't know God. And verse 2 continues, you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Here, the ruler and the spirit are in singular. So these cannot be just the evil spirits, but their head, Satan. Not knowing God, we sought what we like, what delights us, what we feel safe with. Satan's purpose is keep people away from God. So by simply following our desires, we were following Satan. Verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. We were in this state, but God intervened into our life. From verse 4 and on, the subject is God. Now, what kind of people are Christians? Verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, 5, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. This means that before we believed in Christ, our spirit was dead, and so we could not know nor feel Him. But when we believe in Jesus as our Savior, our sins are all pardoned, and we have God's life in our spirit, and we can know God, and we can communicate with Him and feel Him and His love. I have seen Christians, once believing in Jesus, soon have a conviction that I am saved by Christ because I believed in Him. I have officiated a number of funeral services of our church members. These people coming close to the end of their life here on earth, I didn't have to persuade them that you can go to heaven because you believed in Jesus. In every case, each one had the peace and conviction within that they will go to heaven to be with God. I have met and talked with many non-Christian people in my life. Sometimes even argued with. I have not known anyone with a confidence that they are saved or that they can go to heaven. I met many religious people, however. I have never met a person with a peace that they are saved or have the assurance that they can go to heaven. The situation is the same with the religious people who call themselves Jehovah's Witness. Many of them say, I dedicate myself in this practice because I want to be saved. If I stop doing it, I will not be saved. So I keep doing this. Christians' assurance of being saved may be quiet, but it comes from God. So it is powerful. God sustains the peace of being saved in our heart. But I hear sometimes Christians say, I will surely go to heaven, but probably I will sit at the edge of heaven. This, I think, is an honest confession that I have not been a good Christian, so I am not worthy to be close to the center of heaven. But anyhow, I can surely go to heaven. Now, for verse 6, what did God do for us? God raised us up with Christ. After Christ was crucified and killed, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. With that same power, God raised our spirit and put God's life into our spirit when we believed and accepted Christ as our Savior. Verse 6 goes on, that God raised us with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are already sitting with Jesus in heaven, even while we live here on earth. In the New Testament Greek, seated us with is just one word. This picturizes that we are sitting together with Jesus, side by side with Him in heaven already. If so, we would be overwhelmed with His love and compassion, His tender heart, and His passion for lost people. Also, we would be overwhelmed with the glory of God that fills heaven. But does this happen when we live here on earth as Christians? Years ago, this statement of verse 6 puzzled me. When Christians die, their spirit go to heaven to be with Christ. Right? But this passage says, God seated in the past tense, us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That this should mean that when we believed in Jesus, God seated us with Christ in heaven already. Is this correct? Being a pastor for many years, I explained it this way. Christians can go to heaven when they die. This is very certain. So it is stated as if it is an already happened fact. Therefore, it is mentioned in the past tense. Is my interpretation right? Probably not. I kept pondering this issue. Then I came to realize that there is a clue in Paul's prayer right before this passage, namely chapters 1, verses 16 to 19. I read, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I kept asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength. Verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul did not stop giving thanks and praying here for the Ephesian Christians. Now, what did he pray? Paul did not stop praying this prayer, so this must be a very important prayer. Verse 7 again, I keep asking that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul keeps asking that God may give them the Holy Spirit, but they are Christians, so they already have the Holy Spirit. So Paul's prayer means that the Holy Spirit within them may reveal them, God himself, so that they can know him better. Paul's prayer continues. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that they may know the hope and glorious riches that they inherit. He constantly prays this prayer. And verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Verse 19 tells us that God's incomparable great power is working for Christians. And God's mighty strength is in that power, so that they may know it is the essence of Paul's constant prayer. I think this verse implies that there are two types of Christians. Type one, God's mighty power is working in them, and they know it. But type two, God's mighty power is working in them, but they do not know it. So, since in every Christian, God's mighty power is working within, Paul's prayer is for those who do not know, that they may know it for themselves. For this, he constantly prays. I became a Christian over 40 years ago. I was so glad because I was saved. Then I started to grow. I started to grow as a Christian. But within just a few years, the growth slowed down. I saw the Christians around, and I saw their growth also slowed down in a few years after they became Christians. Was that your experience too? In my denomination, we have a small seminary. Pastors teach the classes. I teach a pastoral theology. This deals with how Christians grow in their faith. In the class, I ask this question to the students. Do Christians keep growing continually at a good pace after they become Christians? Or does their growth slow down after a certain period? The student's answer is usually, Christians' growth slows down in 2-3 years after they become a Christian. I agree with them. I know of a Christian who was earnest, but often had conflicts with others. This annoyed others and me. I complained to God. God, he is a Christian. Why is it that he does not grow for many years in this aspect? This problem lingered with me for many years. Then I slowly realized that Paul is constantly praying for Christians to grow in their faith mightily. Why shouldn't I just pray for this person? Then, on occasions, I started to pray following Paul. Lord, help him so that he may know you much better. And also, I may know you much better. And we together be filled with your Holy Spirit, as if we are sitting together with Jesus. Then, soon after that, I sensed that he was being changed little by little. I occasionally prayed for him and for me. I realized he was continuing to be changed in the course of a few years. I know now that he is a people-loving, humble, and dedicated Christian. I am simply overwhelmed with what God did for him and also for me. I know of a Christian couple who often started quarreling. Seeing them, I often sighed. They are Christians for many years, but why is it that their marriage relation is so divisive? After many years, I started to pray for the couple so that God might show his presence in the couple and in me also. God started to change the couple. And after a few years, I heard a person say about the couple, "Oh, that couple are the happiest couple in the church." I praised God for what he did. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, when are the coming ages? Paul wrote this letter in about AD 60. So the coming ages mean any time after this in the first century, and also in the second, the third century, and also in the 20th, and even in this 21st century. In any age, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace. In what way? The previous verse. God raised us up with Christ and seated us together with him. We are still here on earth, but Jesus is always sitting together with us, side by side, so closely, and wants to show himself and his abundance. What kind of people are Christians, believing in Christ Jesus and saved, but also sitting closely together with Christ in heaven already? Therefore, we are with him, and we walk with him, and talk with him, so that he may reveal his abundance on us and through us, and people around us may know his glory shines through us day by day. Thank you. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you saved us when we believed in Jesus. Not that you promised us the heaven when we die, but Christ Jesus is always together with me, with us, so that we know him very dearly, continuously. Lord, I ask you so that he may show himself to us, through us, so that people around us may know you just abundantly. In Christ Jesus. Amen.